I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine.
And Caroline.
Today, we are going to be talking about not settling. And if there's one thing that you take away from listening to this entire show, I don't care what episode, I don't care what point you're at, it is do not settle for a life, for people, for an environment, a job, interest, like yourself, anything. Do not settle for anything that is less than what you want or what you deserve or the bare minimum.
I do feel like that is the overall, what this show is, like, when I tell people I have a podcast, they're like, what do you talk about? Sometimes I'm like, I don't really know how to explain. I'm like, you just have to listen and you have to get the vibe. But I think that if you were to put words to it, it would be, I still can't. It would be that. It would be, like, not settling. It would be.
It's just an energy. It's just a mindset.
You have to understand it. It's not just one thing. It is, like, an all-encompassing, let's live lives where we don't settle. And so today we want to talk about not settling in all aspects of your life and ways that you could be settling and ways to like get in the habit of not settling and all of that and getting past the bare minimum of things. Before we do that, let's do some highs, lows, and goals for the week.
Quick high of the week is that Stanley came to visit and we were like locked and loaded, inseparable for 3 days straight. It was awesome. I love him. I'm obsessed with him. I was like, oh my god, he cured me. I was telling someone that he truly like cured whatever funk was going on mentally. And someone's like, oh, Stanex. Like Stanley Xanax. And I was like, someone needs to make that an official medicine. Like someone put it in the pharmaceuticals.
He's a cure-all.
He truly is. Like
you wouldn't even know where to put that in the pharmaceutical because it's like, is it cold and flu? Is it sleep? Is it stomach issues?
The pharmaceutical.
You said someone put that in the pharmaceuticals. So I just repeated you, the pharmacy.
It's not a real thing.
The pharmacy. You wouldn't even know where to go in the pharmacy. Stanex would have to be like a standalone cure-all product. Yeah.
It's not under like anxiety. It's truly just like,
well, I mean,
yeah.
Okay, Stanex. Love it.
What voice was that?
I don't know. My high of the week is I got a manicure yesterday on my natural nails for probably the first time in forever. And as long as I can remember, because I have the world's weakest, flimsiest nails, but I've been really working hard to grow them out. And, you know, one step at a time, here we are. But I got dip on them, so it's like a really hard manicure. So I'm hoping that, you know, this keeps my nails nice and strong. And that's that. I'm happy about it.
My low of the week is, well, I actually didn't come prepared, but this has just been a shit. Like, I don't know what is going on. The other day I'm in a meeting and we were talking about how everything was just like going poorly. And I was like, you know, Mercury is in retrograde. And everyone's like, what?
Is
it? It is. It's like major in retrograde right now. And I was like, every time I say things like that, I say like, I don't actually know all the things, but like,
people you work with think that you're like an astrologer. They think
I'm like
girl.
An astrologist, and I'm like, no, I don't. I saw a TikTok and it said Mercury was super in retrograde, and that's all I know about it. But look, I believe it because there's no other explanation for whatever the shit is going on at the moment.
It was a busy week for me. I had to go into the office a lot more than usual, as in 3 days, like, which is like
had to attend.
Almost yeah. mean to say to Catherine, who has to go 4 days a week most of the time. But it was quite exhausting. It takes a lot out of you, like an hour or 45 minute commute back and forth and being there 9 to 5. It takes a lot out of you. So that might have been my low for the week, is that, you know, I had a little bit more in-person work time, a little bit less work from home vibe time.
The only low that the most prominent low that I could think of is actually like low-key was a high. So we were out and then I left and like,
is this when you were crying?
I was crying.
Okay.
And it was so, but it was like, it was almost comical that I was crying. And then,
were you crying in the bar?
No.
Like, just afterwards.
It was a bit of
because that would have been a low.
Oh, no, no,
crying
I did not.
In that place.
No. Okay. It was a bit of a something caused me to leave. And, like, my friend and I left and all of a sudden, so I'm like, what was that? And then I'm like, there's a tear and I'm like, ah, shit. And so we go, we're like going to pick up food. And I'm like, it's truly in the restaurant. I'm like, sorry, like, sorry, everyone, like, dabbing a tear. And it was like, laughing, but I actually couldn't help it. And then so we come home, like our friends are here, and it was just the silliest thing. Like, it was low-key a high because it was a bonding moment, because I like knew them like sort of, but not like that well. And I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry right now.
Mind you, Caroline, for Catherine to shed a tear,
yeah, and she was all like, she doesn't
that
cry,
takes
and
I
was
a
like
lot.
Like, sorry guys, but it was like comical. Like, it was more laughing than silly.
Yeah. It was, like, upsetting, but in, like, we're all on the same page about, you know, that's a little bit fucked up. So we can all laugh it off in agreement.
So
maybe.
That's why I don't think it was a low. Like, I think it was a high because, like,
I love that you spin everything to make it, like, less emotional. You're like, yeah, I left the bar crying and, like, dabbing my tears.
Because
but, like, it was silly. Like, it was really silly.
It was silly. Like, it truly was. It wasn't even, like, it was just, like, what was that? And now I'm like, okay, we're here, and like, what is this? I'm like truly cry and whatever.
What
it was
is that?
So
tier?
Funny.
What
it
is
was
this?
So funny. I think I walked in and like I didn't. So we walk into our apartment and there are stairs, so you can't see who's here. And I think I walk in and I like hear people and I think I go like, who am I speaking with right now? There's no.
I was
one,
like, hello,
hello. Oh, it was funny. So anyway, it was kind of a high. Like, I think that was really funny, and that's why I almost did say it. But that would be the most obvious, but I kind of enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. And then my goal for the week is, I'm so excited about this. Caroline's leaving. Our other roommate is away. It is just going to be me here. And someone else moves in like a week. I get to like
you pretty much have a week by yourself.
Yeah, and I get to clean the apartment. Because right now I clean and like there, it's literally, I can't get on top of it. And it's gotten to a point where like, every few months I get in a headspace, I'm like, oh my god, like the walls are closing in on me, like I need to clean, I clean and then it gets dirty, and then like I clean the kitchen, I go in my room, I walk outside, the fucking cabinet doors are open because someone doesn't know how to close them, Caroline, and so I'm super excited for it to just be me here and to get like the deep cleaning stuff, because right now I'm good at the surface level, but I know like there is a crumb in the like fork and knife holder in the drawer, and I'm like, I need to take everything out. I can't wait to take
I need to
everything
find the
out.
Crumb.
No, you do not see it. It's in the fork drawer.
Like one? Like you're talking about a specific crumb.
How do you get it to clean? It's like clean cutlery.
You're talking, there's a specific crumb that you're referring to.
It's in the top left of the fork drawer.
Why can't, if you're aware of it, why can't you pick more. It up and
it's like, dispose no, they're, of they're, it? Like, they're, it's like, they're like crumbs. And I'm like, how do you get, it's clean cutlery. Like, there should be no crumbs. I just don't get it. I don't get how, it's absurd. So I'm really excited to like get a hold on that and and have the space to like truly reset everything because it's going to be so fun.
So if you guys are consistent listeners, you will remember that probably a month ago at this point, I said that I bought myself a longboard and that I was really excited to ride it and that it was my goal to ride the longboard last time I went home to New Hampshire about a month ago. The thing is, it got delivered the day after I left. So I'm home in New Hampshire thinking I'm gonna, you know, get to test out my new longboard, but I'm there longboardless. And then the day that I leave, the longboard arrives in the mail, and my dad sends me a picture of this giant box, and he goes, what in the world is this? And I said, oh, it's my longboard. And so a couple weeks later, my parents came to Boston, and I said, you know what, guys? Pack my longboard for me. Mm. Because if I couldn't have it in New Hampshire, I don't want to wait a month to ride the thing.
I would have put so much money on you never riding it in Boston, and I wish I did, because...
Because here we would have
been rich.
So they bring the longboard, you know, big in its box into Boston. I unbox it. It sits on the wall of my apartment for 2 weeks. I never brought it outside because I was always like, I don't know. I didn't necessarily.
It's not a long. Like, Boston's not a longboarding spot.
And I didn't make time for like a leisure activity, I guess, like that, to just kind of, you know, longboard around. And so when I'm packing up my room the other day because I'm moving out, there it went, right back into the car, right back to New Hampshire. So it went back and forth and back, and I haven't
ridden.
I haven't ridden it yet. And so my goal this week is that when I now return for the summer this week, I'm gonna take that baby on a joyride. Mm. Let's talk about settling.
Not settling.
More specifically. Not settling. I think the first place your mind goes when it comes to not settling, I think we talk about settling a lot in relationships, but I think it's way bigger than that. The concept of settling, it's much more broad than that. You can settle with absolutely anything in life.
Right. When I think about this, like, I think about settling with yourself.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, how much energy are you putting into yourself? What are you accepting in your environment? Like, of course, people go into that, but settling is, think of it from your perspective. It doesn't have to do with other people. Like, it's all about you. Other people can be involved.
Mm-hmm.
They can be impacted. You can be settling with other people, but it's not about the other people. Like, it is about you, and you should not be settling for anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So kind of you do apologize.
Any situation in your life, not only how others treat you, but how you treat yourself, what you do, the situation of your life, a career, a living environment, the what you do, just like the activities you do, traveling, not traveling, things like that, like you settling for less than what you really want. And it can be hard to define, because I think that level of like, what is settling? Well, it's all relative to what you want, but it's settling for less than what you want. No single person's life is going to look exactly like somebody else's life, nor should it, because everybody is drawn to different things and has different wants and different visions and different goals for their life. But settling is you believing that you're not deserving of those things, or that you can't have them, or that you're just going to be fine having this other thing because it would take too much work to get there, or it would be too scary to actually go after that.
Heavier on the it's too scary, because I think if you're keeping yourself in a spot where you're settling, you're not thinking as much about how much effort is this going to take to put in. I think you're just, even if you don't realize it, because you probably don't realize it, if you're in a position where you're settling and it just like feels kind of weird, feels kind of boring, like your life feels a little bit mundane, that could just be because you're scared to let it be not mundane. You're scared to lose other things if you put more effort and energy into things that are going to amplify your life and, like, make it more vibrant and better. And I think even if you don't realize it, and like I said, you probably don't, because you're not going to be conceptualizing it or being too introspective with it. If you're just in a spot in your life where it feels a little bit, like, stupid.
Yeah.
Because if you're settling, it's just going to feel like bleh. Like, it's not going to feel like anything.
But it's comfortable.
It's comfortable, but it's not...
It actually is uncomfortable. It's not comfortable. Like, it's uncomfortable, but the not changing is comfortable.
Yeah. It's obviously, I mean, in the from an effort level, like, it's sure it's easier to not do anything. But if you're listening to this podcast, like, I'm sure you agree. I don't actually think that settling or staying where you are is easier. I think it's easier to continue to grow, continue to change, continue to put effort into it. And sure, it takes more effort, but, like, it takes effort to stay the same and resist all the change and all the interest and, like, fun of your life. Mm-hmm. Sure, it takes effort to grow and change and make your life better, but it fucking makes your life better. So why not go in that direction?
Yeah. I think that you have two discomfort options. You either have the discomfort of believing in yourself and taking risks and going after what you want, or you have the uncomfort of staying exactly where you are and having to fight that battle of I'm not where I want to be. That's just as frustrating and just as uncomfortable.
It takes just as much energy to have to fight that off and fight those thoughts off and, like, deal with those thoughts as it does to go out and, you know, take the steps so you don't even have those thoughts, because you're comfortable in your exciting life, in a life you enjoy, like, you are, because you're genuinely comfortable in your life.
Settling is typically the easier option in the moment, but I think that it drains so much energy that long term, it's actually, like, the harder, more uncomfortable thing. But it's harder in that moment to believe that you can do more, to believe that you deserve more, and to kind of take the risk of saying no to something for the chance of something else. But you manifest in your life what you accept and what you tell yourself you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to accept a certain level of something that feels like the absolute bare minimum, then you're conditioning yourself to believe that that is all you deserve. And then that is what you're going to continue to accept and what gonna is going to continue to come into your life. Yeah,
you're going
to
keep yourself in that level that you don't deserve. If you keep letting people, like, walk all over, if we're talking about people, if you keep letting people walk all over you, if you keep putting effort into people that don't put effort into you, keeping yourself on that level, you are keeping yourself surrounded by those people. And so when someone else comes in that's exactly like that, you've conditioned yourself to be like, oh, okay, this is fine. Like, this is, and it's uncomfortable as fuck, but you're going to accept it and you're going to keep doing that. But when a situation comes that is not up to the standards that it should be, even if you have been accepting that, you have to go outside of yourself for a second and say, no, we're not accepting this. Like, move on. Take that option to the side. And then it may feel like empty or lonely or uncomfortable in that moment. But then the next time someone comes or something comes that's like that, like, it's going to be easier to say no. And then you may go through that cycle again until things that are better, you start seeing that there are better options and that things that are actually way above the bare minimum and that are actually suitable for you do exist.
Yeah.
And it's not that they don't exist right now. It's that you've conditioned yourself to only accept and only see and only believe that the bare minimum exists when there's so much more out there for you.
Yeah. If it exists in the world, it can exist for you. I think a lot of the time we see other people in a situation, they have such a healthy, incredible relationship. They're traveling so much. They have a dream career. We can feel like they have that. I don't have that. I'm not going to have that. And whether it just feels unattainable, whether you feel like you're undeserving or that other people have more opportunities than you do or are luckier or anything like that, you're telling yourself that you can't have that. Whereas a way to reframe that and look at it is, like, we are all, and it's hard to say that everyone's on an equal playing field because there are so many factors that play into how people do not start on an equal playing field. But if something exists in the world, it can exist for you.
Mm-hmm.
if you see somebody doing something, that means that it's possible, and that means that you can do it too. And that means that you don't have to settle for any less than that if you know that that's what you want and you know that that is what is possible for you and that it's out there.
When you see someone that has the life that you want to be living, that is not proof that you can't live that life. Mm-hmm. That's not, that doesn't take away from your opportunity to live that lifestyle. That is proof that it is possible to live that lifestyle. That is proof for yourself that you can be there at some point. And so that is such an motivating and uplifting and inspiring thing. It should not be hurtful. It should not be detrimental to see someone who has the life that you desire. Just picture yourself in that point. Like, that is proof that you can be in that point. Like, it exists. It exists for you.
Mm-hmm. So I think a big concept when we think about settling is settling with how people treat you, whether that is in like a romantic relationship. I people feel like talk about settling all the time, but also with friends. When I think about settling with people in your life, I almost think about settling for people. Sometimes it's so, sometimes it's so down bad that you celebrate people just for not treating you badly. Sometimes the bar has gotten that low that the bare minimum is, like, not even the bare minimum. It is just the absence of treating you badly.
No, truly. Sometimes I'm, like, with specific people, I'm, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, they asked a question about me.
Exactly.
They asked a question about me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I don't have to, like, be the sole person in the conversation. This is crazy. I know. This is wild. And it feels like, what? This exists? Like, this is possible? It's like, what the fuck? So, I'm sorry. If your friend should be, like, curious about what's happening in your life. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't just be you asking questions and, like, caring about that. Like, that is the bare minimum.
Like, somebody asking a question about you and you're like, oh, my God, they asked a question. Whereas like, that oh is, like, God, the basis care. Of a relationship.
I'm like, you care. And I'm like, that is so kind. Like, I didn't know you cared this much. I'm like,
things that are below the bare minimum that are literally just one step above absolutely nothing, but that I think we celebrate so much. Someone not being mean to you, someone in a relationship, someone not cheating, or like, oh my God, they're not cheating, like, they're like, okay, somebody responding to your text. Like, somebody that's responds funny. To a yeah, text, like, I've asked a you a one. Question, and then they respond, and I'm like, oh my God, they're such a great person, they respond. I'm like, no, that is, like, below the bare minimum. If you ask someone a question on text, like...
Okay, side note, I will say, like, I hate texting. I mean, of course I like it, because it, like, it's communication, and of course you need, if, like, you want to see someone in person, like, you have to text to coordinate that. But I will say, I said it once, I said it again, I don't like how everyone just has access to you all the time.
Yes.
And so, it's valid. If you don't want to respond to text, there are some people you just don't want to have access to you, and then they text you, and you're like, oh my God, like, this is now a weight on my shoulders, like, I'm stressed, you shouldn't have access to me. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about within existing, like,
friendships and relationships
that are already established, and it's, like, people that... You know, if you ask them a question, if you text them, like, they should want to respond, not people who are, like, not the cases where I support, like, blocking someone or not responding to someone because they need to not have access to you.
Yeah.
But in a situation where it's someone, like, who is an established friend, relationship, something, if you... I don't know. Like, I'm like, oh, that's so kind. Like, they texted me. Or, like, oh, that's kind. Like,
yeah.
They said hi to me on the street. I'm like, oh, they're such a good person. Meanwhile, I would, like, stop you on the street and be like, how was your, like, family thing from 2 weeks ago that you talked about? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And things like getting, like, a last-minute invite that feels like a pity invite or something. You know, something just above... Like, when a group of people is already going out and you have to kind of, like, ask around, like, hey, what's going on? Is anything going on? And then you kind of get, like, the last minute, like, pity invite. That is just one little step above nothing. But that, like, that would happen to me. And then I would be like, oh, that's so great. They're including me. You know? That's so awesome that they're including me. Meanwhile, other people just like made plans without you, and like you had to ask what was going on and like kind of prod to be a part of it. So, I'm like, that feels like settling in friendships to me.
Right.
But that, unfortunately, it's easier to accept that because it feels safer to have something rather than being like, whoa, if you weren't including me or inviting me in the first place and don't seem to really want me there, then, like, I don't want to beg. I don't want to chase. I want people who want me included in the first place.
Yeah.
But that's harder because you have to say no, and then you take the risk of, you know, being more lonely for a second, of having,
okay, you know, some but FOMO. At the same time, sure, FOMO, whatever. At the same time, like, why would you want to go if they didn't actually want you there? Like, why would you want to go? Because what's going to happen is when you actually go there, is it going to be the same exact thing where you are still, you're still on the outskirts? Like, the dynamic doesn't change just because you are together. Like, your group of people made plans with each other and then hit you with a pity invite right before they were about to leave. Why would you go just to be a fifth wheel or, like, whatever in their friend group on their plans? Like, don't settle for that.
Yeah. But saying that is easier said than done, because I think everything, when we say settling for the bare minimum, that means that there is something. There's far more missing than there is there, but there is something there, and sometimes the opportunity of something, even if it's people that you don't think treat you that well, but you're getting a social outing. Like, it can be hard to set that boundary for yourself of, like, absolutely not, because you feel like you're getting, like, at least a little bit of something. Or, like, if somebody doesn't text you back for a week and then, like, randomly texts you, it's like, oh, that's, like, a little bit better than nothing. You're going to give them another shot, versus that's not how you would treat another person. So why would you settle for somebody treating you that way? Because it's just a little bit better than nothing. But I saw a TikTok where somebody said, and she was talking about, like, relationships, but she said, no guy has ever treated me badly because I haven't let them. The second that someone gives me an ounce of a red flag, I absolutely walk away. And that's my boundary. And then they never get to treat me badly. And, like, that was just a shocking thing to hear, because it's so simple and so easy that the second something feels like it's not serving you, or it's not what you deserve, if you can just immediately say no, the level that you keep yourself on is, like, wild.
Okay, if someone is, like, on a first date and tries to treat you badly, or there's a hint of a red flag, of course it's going to be easy to be like, no, sorry, we're done here. But if you're, like, if it's one of your best friends, or, you know, someone that you already have an established connection with, someone that you already care about, that's when it's, like, that's when you can't just be like, oh, one red flag, like, we're done here. But at the same time, like, you can't let people treat you badly. So I think it is so easy to, like, have boundaries and be like, no, with people that you don't give a shit about.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and, like, matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership, so you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché.
Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change. And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarche.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it truly doesn't matter. You didn't lose anything. Like, no one, it truly, you're like net zero. The thing that that we're talking about here, and that is actually difficult, because that TikTok of the girl saying, "I've never been treated badly by a guy because they don't let them."
She's talking about brand new people.
She's talking about brand new people that it doesn't matter because you didn't.
There's nothing there.
But if you're, like, whether it's a friendship or a relationship, like, if you are deep into the relationship, or not deep, but if you actually, like, have an established connection, you care about someone, you're not going to be like, "Oh, you did one thing that was bad, like, absolutely not, never talk to me again." Like, that's fucked up. Like, you don't do that. But at the same time, you don't let them continuously walk all over you, so you have to find that balance, and that's what's really difficult. Yeah. So I agree with her. Like, do that. If someone's acting up, like, day one of meeting them, like, you don't have to see them ever again. But if it's your friend or, like, a family member or someone that you actually care about, that's when have boundaries, be strong, but, like, be healthy about it. Like, don't take that advice and, like, go to your actual friends and be like, "Fuck off," like, blah, blah, blah. You did one stupid thing, like, you're done. Like, this is, that's toxic. Don't do things like that. Like, actually be a functioning member of the relationship, unless it is over and over again, in which case you can be like,
no. Exactly. It's like, where does that line come in where it's over and over again? Because I'm someone, when I care about somebody and I'm invested in a relationship and a friendship, like, I will give chance after chance because I, like, want to believe that you can salvage that. Like, it's hard for me to, like, fully leave a friendship behind.
Or but then what that breeds, what that breeds is if you, so something happens and you're like, "Okay, then, like, we're good. I'm okay with this. Like, I care about you. Like, we're good. Let's move past this." Then it happens again and again and again until you're the one that is, like, continuously like, "Okay, I'm fine. Like, this is okay. Let's move past this." And then you care 100% and they care 0%, and then it just, you're down to like, what the fuck is this? Like, they don't give a shit about you anymore. And then they're down to the bare minimum. When maybe at first it started on an even playing field, like, you both cared, you both were not settling, and now you are settling for the, like, "Oh my God, they asked me a question about myself." Right. Like, yes, we're like, fuck no.
It's almost like the people who you care about the most, those are the ones that you can easily get yourself in those situations with, because it's a lot harder to cut them off, like the girl on that TikTok. Like, the second someone treats me badly, they're out. Because if I care about someone and I'm invested in a relationship, and then all of a sudden,
no one I didn't care about has treated me badly, right? Because I don't give a shit.
Exactly. But if it's someone,
but you people care about, who I actually care about, have treated me like actual trash, right? And I'm like, okay.
Right. And if the relationship, if something flips on it and then they start treating you badly, that's when it gets hard, and that's when you start accepting the, like, "Oh my God, they responded to a text. Yes. Oh my God, they gave me a last minute invite to this thing. Oh my God, they texted me at midnight or whatever." Like, that's when you start getting those little things and, like, accepting them, because you care, and I don't know, maybe they don't as much. I don't know, but that's, it's hard, but we can't accept those things because you tell people how they can treat you based on how you let them treat you.
You train them. Like, you truly train people how to treat you based on how you treat yourself and how you let them treat you.
Yeah.
Like, you train them. You can create
how people treat you. And part of that is if they're not living up to those expectations or, you know, the way you deserve to be treated, you don't let them continue to treat you that way. And so that's the part where if something is in that position, then you leave. But the way you treat yourself, like if you treat yourself well, if you have high standards for yourself, other people are going to see that and be like, subconsciously be like, okay, we're up here. Like we're,
this is not, someone
this is not, this is not someone to like be played with. Like I have to put it, if I want to be part of this person's life, I have to put in the same amount of effort that they're putting into themselves, or like put up that caliber of effort. If you treat yourself like shit, no one is ever going to come and treat you better than that.
Yep.
But if you treat yourself really, really well, if you care about yourself, if you put an effort into yourself, if you respect yourself, people are going to come in and match that.
And if they don't, then you have the boundary that you don't accept that. You don't settle for that.
Right. But at the same time, if you are in that position where you are respecting yourself, and like go back and listen to the confidence episode, because that's what this is all about. You're not, someone's going to come in, treat you like shit, and you're just going to be like, oh, okay, bye. Yeah. It doesn't, if like you give yourself all of that respect before other people. Like, it doesn't matter about other people.
Yeah.
But the point of being, of having self-respect, of loving yourself, of caring for yourself, of putting effort into yourself to the caliber that you want other people to treat you, it's going to attract other people that will treat you that way, because you have pushed out all the people who won't treat you that way and left space for the people who actually will treat you that way. And they're going to come in and they're going to treat you to that caliber. And if they don't, then they won't even stick.
Yeah. But when you show somebody, on the other hand, that you're accepting of their behavior, if it is the minimum or if it's less than you deserve, but for whatever reason, you know, you care about this person, you're accepting that, then that's how they feel that they can treat you, and it's not going to change. Like, you doing that to be like, I want to hold on to this relationship, so I'm going to, like, let them treat me kind of, I don't know, as, like, a second thought or something like that, or however a person's treating you, because I think it's going to change, you're actually doing the opposite, because you're just showing them that you're going to continue to show up as they treat you that way. You're not gonna like accept that, and then they're gonna be like, oh, okay, I need to change how I treat this person, because they're saying, oh, I'm treating the person this way, and they're continuing to show up and they're continuing to care about me.
The fun thing about that too is if you continue to give people second chances and third chances, every time you are telling them that, oh, don't worry, you'll get another chance, which means they can test their boundaries and they're gonna treat you worse and worse every time. But no worries, because you're just going to give them a second chance every time, right?
Right, right. Because you want to see the good and you want to believe it, but at some point...
And, like...
At some point, like, it will be taken advantage of.
We're calling ourselves out here.
Yeah.
And I... So, someone I met, like, a mutual friend who I met, like, a couple weeks ago, don't know him that well, but I can... Like, immediately, I was like, I know he is this type of person. Like, he...
A good person.
And it, like... It truly, like, one, it was so energizing to, like, meet someone who is, like, so clearly a good person. But also, I'm like, I know that, like, because we were talking about something and I was like, that, like, I get it. Like, I know you're a good person. Like, I know that you actually, like, genuinely care about this person. And I know it's so, I just feel bad, because I'm like, you don't deserve that. Like, you are a good person. And people who get in these situations and continuously let people treat them badly is because they're good people.
This is,
and it's
like,
so fucked up.
This is really making me think, because in Catherine and I, to each other a lot, we're always like, why do I continuously feel like relationships and friendships
it's
that I'm
It's actually
get
absurd. It's
unbalanced.
Actually absurd. Like, we'll be like, oh my god, wow. We've like found, because we talk about this with each other. I'm like, oh my god, like we finally found someone who's like a great friend, like best friend, like this is great. And then now we're in a position where we are still like care about people, and they're just like bloop.
And it
like,
feels
out. And once again, it's like it's like second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance, to the point where now there is no, from the other person's side, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who I'm like, oh my god, I got a text like, oh, you looked up from your phone when you're talking to me. Like, yes. Yes. Score. Like, we're score. Back. Like, fuck no. No. Yeah. But, like, being someone who, and, like, yeah, sure, it's to a fault of my own, but, like, when I care about someone, like, I care about them and nothing's gonna change that, which is fucked up. And, like, whoever gave me that gene or whatever the fuck it is, I'm throwing hands. But it's so irritating because people just don't, like, give it back. But that's when you need to go outside of yourself and, like, hit a little third person, like, pep talk to yourself.
Yeah.
And be like, fuck that, move on. Like, don't keep giving people the space to walk all over you, and they won't fucking walk all over you.
What I was kind of getting at is I'm having this realization as we're talking about this, where I'm always like, I feel like so many of my friendships end up becoming imbalanced. And I don't really know why, because I don't think that they tend to start that way. I just feel like things kind of become imbalanced. And I think that it is because I like to keep kind of like a smaller, closer circle of relationships that I really value. And I like to, like, I put a lot of energy in them, and I like to think that the people in my life, I treat them really well. But on the same note, when I've decided that somebody is somebody in my life, like, I'm gonna stay loyal to them. I'm gonna give them chance after chance because, like, I don't want to lose that relationship. I don't want to see it go away. And so when other people start slipping or retracting or changing the way that they treat me, I continue to put the same in because I don't want to do the same thing.
It's also like, it's not about,
even then overload the energy trying to compensate for it. And then it's like, the more that somebody sees, oh, I'm giving less, but they're continuing to give me chances.
I can give even less. To give me Let's more, see how little
then they
I can give
less, and then you give more to overcompensate, and then they get less. They give less, and then suddenly it is so wildly imbalanced. And I mean, if you feel like you're in that sort of situation at all, that's the kind of thing, like, try not reaching out for like a week and seeing if they do.
Oh, that's always fun. That's always a fun little game.
It's a fun little game. Then that'll really, really show you. It'll really show you. And then you have to set it with yourself and be like, I would rather lose this relationship or at least take myself out of it for now, because I am not deserving of that. And I'm spending so much energy just trying to collect the bare minimum from this person that it is draining of my energy, and I have to say no. And I would rather not have that in my life than continue to put all of myself out there just to settle for the bare minimum of what this person's able to give me. Because there are other people in the world, even though sometimes it doesn't seem like it, that will give you a lot. I know every single person listening here is probably like that, where you have so much that you want to give to other people. And I think the way that you treat people, if you treat people really well, if you try to treat people really well, that's enough to show you that it's possible in the world. Because if you're doing it, there are other people that can do it. There are other friends, there are other relationships, there are other, I don't know, coworkers or managers or bosses. It's any sort of relationship. Like, there are people who will treat you well, and you know that if you're somebody who is treating other people well.
If you're settling for other people when you are someone who puts in a lot of effort and, like, highly values your relationships and connections with people, the easy part about that is that you can walk away, and it's not, you don't have to, like, have a conversation to walk away. If someone's giving you nothing, then stop giving them anything, and then the relationship
then
is
it's
over.
Gone.
Like,
it's just
so
dissolves.
It's so easy. It doesn't actually, that's actually, like, the really nice part about being in a position that is so bad and so fucked up, is that it doesn't take anything to end it, because it's already ended. It's just, all it takes is you walking away from it. Like, the other person is already out of it.
If it makes you feel bad to not have it anymore, and to actually acknowledge that, like, damn, this is they're giving the bare minimum, this relationship feels like it's over, it's a scary thing to fully get rid of it, but I think that it's a harder thing to do to stay in that and keep draining your energy.
Anyway, so walk away, end those relationships. And now you have so much space opened up for, first of all, like, hang out, like, vibe with yourself, like, fix some shit for, like, mentally for a while, because that's going to fuck you up. And then now you have so much space open for, like, other people, other good people, and people who are going to match the energy. So leave, step one, leave relationships that aren't serving you or are you're settling for. Step two, vibe with yourself and fix whatever needs to be fixed. Get solid with yourself, like respect yourself, learn to love yourself, learn to like be solid in yourself. Like go back to the confidence episode, listen to that a million times over and you're good to go. Then you can start bringing people in, letting them know how to treat you. Once you've left bad relationships, fixed your relationship with yourself to the point where you treat yourself well, then people are going to come in and treat yourself the same way you are treating yourself. Fundamentally, like, you have to treat yourself well. And that means between you and you, treat yourself well. Like, put energy into what you value, put energy into your interests, put energy into yourself. Don't put energy into relationships that aren't serving you. Mm-hmm. It's all about you in this process. And then when people come in, they're going to see that. And if they can't give you that same level of effort, same level of respect that you're giving yourself, they're not even going to try. And they won't make it in.
Yeah.
But the people who can give that, because crazy concept here, they're the same people who also respect themselves and are also in a position where they are so good and solid in themselves that they want to give that to other people. Then they're going to come in respecting you, ready to put effort and care into that relationship, and then you guys are going to be good to go. It's crazy.
I also want to note that settling in relationships or in any situation in life, it doesn't even have to mean that there's negativity. It can also mean that it's just not what you want for yourself.
Yeah.
It's not growing you. It's not inspiring you. Like, you could be in a relationship that feels very comfortable and feels very safe and there's no negativity, but it's not growing you or inspiring you, and it's not where you see yourself. That is still settling too. Settling, it doesn't always have to be like, I'm letting somebody treat me badly. I'm letting a situation feel negative. It can also just be, I'm settling for something that feels so safe and easy and comfortable for me instead of wanting myself to grow or letting myself grow.
And of course, we all know I say this because I can't do it. Like, coaches don't play. But it is not about other people. It is about you. So when I talk about settling, sure, you can settle for other people. And I think that's a super easy example because it's so obviously impactful. But your environment, truly down to like the colors on your walls. Like, I'm so like, I this sounds stupid, but the walls in here are like off-white. It makes me uncomfortable. Like, it's just like a bad color. Like, decide to be a color or decide to, like, I don't know, I hate it. And it's like fine until I overthink it too much, until I'm already in a position where I'm like, oh, I don't like my environment right now. And then I'm like, oh fuck, and these walls too, like cherry on the like icing cherry on the cake. Cherry on top. But it's not actually about the walls. It's about like the entire environment. But you have the power to, maybe you can't change like the apartment you live in or the house you live in or the people you live with. But your room, go down to like the smallest things. Maybe you can't pack up and leave to a different city. But if your room is messy and you're like, this isn't serving you. Sorry, but like, clean your room. You don't even have to be like, we all know I'm over the normal caliber of like things need to be clean. But fundamentally, like, get your life together, clean your room. Yeah. Like, make your environment clean and fitting for you. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't have that baseline, and it takes a while. Like, in high school, I didn't make my bed until like, I don't know, I haven't always like made my bed or picked up my room, but
and
now
I still am not great at that.
Yeah, but you've actually gotten a lot better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know, there was a month there where your bed was made every day.
I know.
Since not been made,
right? But
in a month,
it fluctuates.
But like, keep your space clean. Like, that is your immediate space. That's a reflection of who you are. Like, your environment is a reflection of who you are. It fosters what you're able to do. Mm-hmm. So put effort into it. Make it good.
Don't settle for your environment. Don't settle for your career, because that is what you devote so much time and energy to and what you do every day. And it should be what you enjoy doing, in a sense, and what feels fulfilling. Don't settle for your health. right? Don't settle for...
Sometimes, so once again, and I'll say it every time we do like a tips thing or something. And like I said, I was talking to the cleaning my room, your example, like 3 seconds ago. And as I was speaking, I was like, why am I talking about cleaning your room again? Like, I talk about this all the time. It's so stupid. But it's fucking not. Like, your health, the fundamental things that you should care about are, like, your health. Like, truly care about your health. Which is why I will never stop saying, like, go for a walk, go to the gym, eat well, cook for yourself, clean your fucking room.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record or if it sounds stupid. But if you think it sounds stupid, you should probably put more effort into doing those things.
The small fundamental things, we overcomplicate everything. When we say your health, it means your all-encompassing health. It doesn't mean you have to have this one specific gym routine and go every Mm-mm. single day. It means that you want to keep yourself healthy. It means that you...
It means you care about yourself. Care and about if you yourself. Don't, if you don't put energy into that, like... I'm sorry, if you don't care about yourself, if you don't care about your health, you don't care about yourself. And it doesn't mean you have to go overboard being like absurd, but you have to be conscious of yourself and your health. Why would you not want to feel good about yourself?
Exactly. Let's go down a whole pipeline. If you don't...
I'm upset
now. If you settle for your health, you settle for how you treat yourself, you settle for not feeling your best, you settle for then how other people treat you because they see how you treat yourself and that reflects... It spills into everything. So I think not settling for your health is absolutely huge. And that means hydrating, giving yourself good, nourishing meals because you deserve it, getting good sleep, staying active, like just staying healthy and feeling healthy at your core without overcomplicating it. That is so powerful because doing it makes you feel so good and then you like glow and it spills into everything else in your life, but not doing it drags you and drains you. And it's more difficult to not be healthy and to feel drained and to feel frustrated mm-hmm. with yourself and to feel lacking of all of these things than it is to do the work to keep yourself healthy and feel so fucking good about it.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to you're training others and the world and like the universe. Like if you want to get spiritual, apparently I'm an astrology guru. It's just training everyone, including yourself, how to treat you.
Yeah.
When you put effort into yourself and when you care about yourself, you are training yourself, other people, every single fucking thing in your environment around you to treat you at the same caliber. That's the episode. Like, that's all. Like, if you take one thing away, just take, like, fucking respect yourself and move on.
Yeah. If you take one thing from this episode, it is don't settle for how you treat yourself, because settling for how you treat yourself turns into settling for how other people treat you, turns into settling for what you accept in your life and in your environment and in everything else. So, if... all of the concepts and all of the different things and all the different aspects feel overwhelming, start with not settling for how you treat yourself and for your health and happiness at its core, because that is going to naturally produce the results of everything else. And life is too short to treat yourself badly. Or
right, like,
maybe
why
not
would you
too short, but like there's so much potential and possibility and abundance that could be had in your life.
Right.
Go for it. It can be yours.
Just think about all the times. So maybe you feel neutral or you feel bad about yourself right now. Like, energy is low. We're not feeling good. But think about the times. Maybe it's right now, but if it's not, think about when you have felt in your power, when you felt good about yourself, when you felt just, like, confident.
Strutting down the street. Strutting down the street. Listening to music.
In those positions, like, you haven't changed. Right? If you are feeling bad about yourself or feeling kind of bad, what are you going to do? You're going to be like in your room, not doing things, like low energy, unwell. But when you've been in your power, when you felt good about yourself, what do? You feel energized. You feel motivated. You're doing everything you could possibly want to do. Like, you feel good. You do good things. Like, you are likely surrounded by good people.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a shift. When it starts with yourself, when you feel bad, you're not going to do much.
Yeah.
When you feel good, the world is your oyster. Like, go do your thing. So it always starts with how you treat yourself, how you feel about yourself, yeah. and the rest is just going to fall into place. Like, truly, that's, we say it in every episode.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. Think about a time where you have felt great about yourself, and then think about a time where somebody has treated you really well. Think about a time where you have treated somebody else really well. Think about a time where you've been in an environment that made you feel really happy. We've all had all of these things and felt all these things at least once, so you know that it is possible for you. So remember those things, decide that that's what you deserve in life, and then accept no less.
I love how the episodes recently have just been like pep talks. A little bit of pep talks, but it's kind of fun. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you got a good pep talk out of this. A little bit of an energized motivator. And know that if you are ever feeling like you are settling or not feeling like you love your environment, like, we're in your corner.
We say this because we experience all these things too. We're telling ourselves to stop settling in a lot of different ways.
True. But at the same time, if you're like, if you think no one else is there for you, or if you are in the position, the in-between stage between giving up what was not serving you and accepting what is so much better for you, like, we're with you on the journey. That's what we're here for. So we appreciate you guys letting us be a part of it with you.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening. Make sure you're following the show wherever you listen, Spotify, Apple, even the video version on YouTube. You know, leave a like, leave a rating. We appreciate it so much. And we would love to connect with you guys in other places. If you want to go follow at Girls With Goals Pod on Instagram and TikTok, or our personal accounts at Caroline Kanine.
And I'm Catherine Kanine.
And we will see you guys next Monday. Bye.
Bye. If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.